You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, Greg? What's going on, Matt? Good to be here this morning. Nice day today. Not as cold as it was in the city yesterday.
It's colder.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it's warmer. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not as cold. I'll say that.
I think maybe we're all bundled up more appropriately.
Yes, maybe so. Or maybe I'm more enhanced.
That could also be it.
All right, so feel good about it. But it's week 17, right? What the hell are we going to talk about?
We have a lot to talk about today.
Oh, we do? All right, good. I was worried.
Don't be worried. I'm prepared. I'm worried for the next 2 hours. That's 2 hours after this 2 hours. Then we'll be good to go.
I starved myself last night. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I didn't eat at all, matter of fact.
Great. I had dinner. So.
Good job.
I had dinner. No breakfast, though.
You had green beans.
I did have 2 chicken curry puffs, but that's
You had green bean casserole?
Oh, green bean casserole.
Oh, I love green bean casserole.
Oh, really?
My mom doesn't make it, but
okay.
I really love it.
I had 2 pieces of chicken.
Okay.
Popeyes?
No, Popeyes. I made my own chicken.
Oh, Cajun.
No, it was actually jerk chicken, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just put some marinade through it on the chicken, and it was done, just like that. It's rice. That was it. That was my dinner.
Who made it, you or Judy?
Me. Judy went out with her work colleagues.
Oh, really?
Just me.
Where'd they go?
I don't know.
All right. You didn't question her?
No.
I'm just teasing.
Did you invite your neighbors over for some
No, I sat and watched the Knicks lose. That was my night. Eat some chicken and watch the Knicks.
To the Spurs.
To the Spurs, exactly. So on the show today.
Shout out to Judy,
hey,
though.
You know what? I think we might be, the Renaissance might be hosting the Buffalo Sabres.
I think they are. I think you'll see them this morning. Because I saw all the Buffalo Sabres signs outside today. I think, so the Winter Classic, of course, coming out on Monday. January 1st, as normal. City Field, we talked about that a lot this week, and there's a lot of Buffalo Sabres signs around this hotel, so I have a feeling the Sabres might be staying here.
Yeah, I thought my Christmas bonus would be 2 tickets to the Winter Classic.
That might as well have been, you know. It didn't happen. Yeah. You're right, man. I was looking in my inbox, too.
Maybe you'll find... I was talking about this with somebody. You want to go to the Winter Classic? It's freaking freezing. You want to go sit and watch a hockey game at City Field?
No, what I would like to be... I'm about the event. I'm about the atmosphere. So I would go out there, you know what I'm saying, see what it's like. By the end of the first period, though, I'm out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I experienced it. I'm good to go.
Come on. Corey's the Jackie Robinson of Tout Wars.
Yeah, I am.
He is.
This is true.
Yeah. That's
cool. Who played for the Sabres? Anybody famous?
I mean, that non-hockey fans would know probably not. They have some good, really young players, but...
Okay.
I believe Dominic Hasek plays for that team.
Oh, I remember Dominic. Oh, okay.
He was pretty damn good.
That was the one guy that played for the Sabres I thought you would know. So that was it. That was why I said that. All right, on the show today, we got week 17. People got to prepare for that, right? You got to be prepared for week 17. We also have today, I wanted to look at some of the high-risk players that Dr. A called out.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a whole list of them. We said we were going to get to that yesterday. We didn't. So we're going to get to it today. The high-risk, high-reward players, who worked out, who didn't. So we're going to do that coming up in a little bit as well. So we have a fun show over the next 2 hours. We'll interview somebody inside the Roto Experts DKMS Challenge. Comes up on Sunday as well. And of course, we'll wrap it up with Mike Lyon. So, all that in the next 2 hours. Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
If If you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. All right, guys, so week 17 is upon us. People have fantasy leagues. People have you know, teams are rooting for, like Matt and the Buffalo Bills. They have that on the line here, so...
That's right. The Bills can make the playoffs this week, Matt.
There's a possibility.
I know. Are you excited about that?
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited that all the games are at the same time. I think the NFL did a great job with that. There's no Sunday night game, but I do like the way they structured the times for week 17.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice job. I totally agree there by the NFL. So you have that... You have that all going on this week. And for this Sunday, Julio Jones is going to play for Atlanta in a game to get them into the playoffs. There's really no information that we haven't talked about yet for this week.
And like just once again, I mean, Julio, this season, everybody's going to look at it as a failure and a bad year. He's probably going to finish. He has a shot of having the most yards. Obviously, Antonio Brown missed last week.
Of course.
Will miss this week and was hurt versus the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And it looks like D-Hop is going to miss the first game of his career.
Look at that.
So we'll get into that. DeAndre Hopkins going to miss the first game of his career this Sunday with an injury that I'm sure he would have played for if there's any meaning to this game. But there's not. So he might as well get healthy for next year. So we're going to talk about
I do want to thank him for Christmas Day putting up those points. It helped me win
a lot of money. It helped Matt buying us lunch in a couple of hours. we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins coming up on YouTube because talking about Hopkins and what he has done over this year brought me back to Deshaun Watson. And in the scope of next year, I wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson, Jimmy G and whatnot. So we're going to do that on YouTube coming up in a few moments. But I did want to ask you guys about the Giants hiring general manager Dave Gettleman.
I love it. Recycling mediocrity. That's what they're doing. They're recycling the same old habits, the same old guys. They just keep bringing them in, keep going 8-8 with these dudes. They might as well bring in... This is one of the most hated men in the NFL. They might as well hire Todd Haley to be the coach and have two of the most hated men in the NFL running the organization. That's a bad look by the Giants.
Wasn't he with the Giants for like a decade or so? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Giants do love to hire, you know...
So here's the deal with Gettleman. He was with the Giants for about 15 years as a player personnel guy. Evidently... him and Jerry weren't exactly best of friends by any means. I don't think Dave Gettleman's best of friends with anybody, as Corey was kind of alluding to. So Gettleman, Ernie Accorsi recommends Jerry Reese over Dave Gettleman for the Giants general manager job when Accorsi retires the first time. Basically, you had Gettleman do his thing, Jerry did his thing, and it kind of worked on the team, but you know, not really getting along. Ultimately, Accorsi recommends him for the Carolina job, comes in, cleans up a messy cap situation, and the biggest difference that I've read yesterday, as I read a lot about it, was that Gettleman wants to build the lines out and doesn't care as much as skill position players. Josh Norman will tell you that too. The best tweet I saw all of yesterday was Tom Rock saying that Dave Gettleman and Odell in their first meeting can bond over their hatred for Josh Norman.
Oh, wow. They got to pay Odell, and they brought this dude in here. That's going to be a disaster.
Corey can't get the smile off his face.
This is going to be lovely.
Jeff Fisher would be the cherry on top.
Yes, he was. I hope Odell go in there and try to break the bank. But this dude right here, this negotiation with Odell is going to be a problem with this guy here. They canned him last year because they knew they wasn't going to be able to get Olsen signed if this guy was in there. This Gettleman guy is one of the most hated men in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, so anyway, like I said, he had some success. He cleared out the cap for Carolina, had some successful draft picks, including Christian McCaffrey, 8 overall, earlier this year, what was the Dave Gettleman pick. And he had some other nice picks as well. Shaq Thompson comes to mind and some of the other guys. But as Corey has been saying, people don't like him because he has this horrid line with guys. John Beeson's one of them. Thomas Davis is another one. Greg Olsen's another one. And ultimately, he didn't want to pay these guys extensions. He did not want to sign these veterans long-term and wanted to preserve the cap.
Steve Smith,
absolutely.
D'Angelo Williams,
yep. All these longtime Panthers, he didn't give a crap about.
Nope.
And he's basically said, you're an aging veteran. We don't need you. If that's... I know Corey's thrilled about that and calls him, you know, one of the more hated men in the NFL, but... from an objective perspective, Matt, which is kind of what you are, even though you hate the Giants too, you're the more objective one at this table. Don't you want that out of a general manager, to not sign aging veterans long term? Like, get locked in a Steve Smith, a D'Angelo Williams, a John Beeson, guys over 30. You'd rather get younger and preserve the cap, I think. Like, I know what Corey's saying about relationship management, but I don't hate those decisions by Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, I will say this. When you sign aging players to long-term deals, that sets a franchise back more than anything. And there's a lot of guys, whether it be baseball or football, that get the contract because they've been with the organization and all that. And sometimes you got to just play it as a business. As cruel as that may sound, it still is a business. And you're going to work. I know it's sports and we have an emotional tie to it, but whether you go and you work and you have a cubicle or something, you know, business decisions are made on a daily basis. So for that aspect, yes, I do agree.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that ultimately Dave Gettleman is going to clean up the Giants, and he's not an exciting hire by any means. I get that. But from everything I've read, he's not the same old as Jerry Reese. Maybe it's a positive spin by the beat reporters, but
he probably has a better job. Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you this, he's traded down in the NFL draft before. Jerry Reese didn't know how to do that. Jerry Reese also rarely traded up. Get him and work the draft board. That's all I can ask. That's literally all I can ask for. And as I said yesterday in a text message to a friend, it was simply, here's the question I would have asked Dave Gettleman in the interview. It's 2016. The top two targets on the board that everybody in the draft knows you want because you're a transparent idiot, traded up to go get those guys, as in Jack Conklin and Leonard Davis. Everybody knows you wanted those guys. So now what do you do? You have the 10th overall pick. What do you do? Do you trade down because the guys you don't want are there? Do you stay and pick the top guy on your board? If he answered, pick the top guy on your board, I wouldn't hire him, because that's how they got Eli Apple.
Yeah, that's true.
And ultimately, that was it. Jerry had multiple opportunities to trade down, including the New York Jets wanting to trade up and many others, and he wouldn't do it. Instead, he just stuck to his board, and he drafted Eli Apple. From everything I read, Jerry Reese, he prioritized skill position players, which, you know, is fun, certainly. Wide receivers.
I mean, you got Odell Beckham.
Running backs, tight ends, Odell Beckham, for sure. Gettleman does not. Gettleman prioritizes the lines, which, you know, I get that too.
Build it from the inside.
Build it from the inside out. You understand that. Certainly with the Cowboys over the last couple of years, that's really worked out very well.
It's not popular. While it's happening, it's not popular.
Correct.
But when it all comes together, you're like, oh, this is impressive.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's the situation the Giants are going to be in, because it's not going to be popular when they have these skill position players that aren't fun, when they're not drafting wide receivers and running backs and cornerbacks anymore. And Corey's right. The other big thing with Dave Gettleman is that he franchised Josh Norman because he was the best quarterback in the NFL. And then when he couldn't reach an agreement with him, he said, you know what? I don't need you, and cut him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him walk for nothing. And because he franchised him, he didn't get a comp pick. He got nothing out of him. And it scares the crap out of Giants fans, because both Landon Collins and Odell Beckham Jr. are a year away from free agency, and Odell Beckham is on record saying he wants to be the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League. Landon Collins, I can assure you, wants to be paid as well.
Yep.
We're looking at a stare down here.
It is going to be a stare down. Who represents Odell Beckham?
I want to say Roc Nation.
I don't think Roc Nation. I don't think Odell is a Roc Nation guy. I don't think he is. I do not believe.
Do you think he's Rosenhaus?
Huh?
Hold on. Who do you think he is?
I think it might be Rosenhaus. I do not believe it's to be Roc Nation.
Odell
I'm
Beckham
sure.
is, oh no, none of the above. Elite Athlete Management.
Okay.
I don't know who they are.
Elite Athlete Management. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
either.
Well, the one thing I will say here is you don't want the fan base determining who you're going to pick and being pressured into picks. I agree. It's not sexy to build a team that way, but it's probably the correct way, especially
right.
in the NFL. And then if you have money under the cap, you can get free agents
exactly.
and stuff like that. Or you can hit on players later on. I mean, we see it with running backs all the time. This past season, look at the third round. Look at Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara. So I think the Giants are going to be in a – it's going to be very interesting. I'm curious, do they go with the franchise quarterback? Do they take a Barkley?
Yeah, I
should probably draft a left tackle with this guy in there.
Can you blame them?
I would have to go with either the quarterback or Barkley. I know a lot of teams don't like taking the running back. This kid's special. This kid can catch pass. This kid can do it all.
Yeah, I you know what? We'll see.
We've seen what Ezekiel Elliott means to a team. So when people say running back...
Would Ezekiel Elliott mean that to the team if the offensive line wasn't as good as it is, though?
He still was pretty damn good this year.
He was, but the offensive line is, you know, still three-fifths of what it was. You know, you had three all-pros on that team, on that line. So we'll see. All right, we'll take a break. We're gonna come back in a moment. And Matt mentioned DeAndre Hopkins.
You can draft them, but it doesn't mean they're going to be good.
That's, look at the Vikings, Eric how that Flowers line got much better exactly. this year.
No question. All right, we'll take the break. I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins here a moment ago. I want to talk about DeAndre Hopkins missing his first game and Deshaun Watson in 2018. What does it mean? Where does he go? We're going to discuss all of that when we come back. Live on YouTube, it's the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hello, YouTube. My name is Greg Sussman, and welcome inside Studio 34. To my right, it's the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. Happy to have you with us inside here today. And DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss his first game of his career this Sunday after 75 consecutives, none of which, or very few of which, he had with a starting quarterback that deserves to start in the National Football League. But despite all of that, in 2017, DeAndre Hopkins proved to be a top 2-3 wide receiver in the NFL. He's that good. The quarterback, unless it's Brock Osweiler, has proven simply not to matter. That's why in fantasy drafts, DeAndre Hopkins is going to go in the top 10 next year without question. Potentially even the top 5. We'll see what happens. But you know that about DeAndre Hopkins. You now understand, if you watch, just how good he is. But what about the person that is throwing him the ball, Corey? Deshaun Watson took the NFL by storm since he started in week 2. Those few weeks where it was like the slow build, defeating good teams, competing against better ones, it was like, wow, this guy is amazing. He was amazing in Clemson, donating his first game check to all the people that suffered in Reliant Stadium due to the hurricane. Like, he was making his mark on the NFL.
Face of a franchise.
Everything you asked him to be when you were scouting him in the preseason, that's what he was. And then in practice one day, I remember I'm standing right here, we're filming videos, and next thing I know, I get a text message from my dad, and it's like, Deshaun Watson tore his ACL. I'm just like, are you effing kidding me?
That was like I think that was the one moment this year where everybody kind of was like, oh no, because you got this dynamic young quarterback playing outstanding football, not too long, coming off of an amazing game versus the Seattle Seahawks, and now he's gone for the rest of the year. So that was like one of the seminal moments of the NFL of this season. So, but that's DeAndre Hopkins' quarterback
That's DeAndre Hopkins' quarterback going forward. And unlike a guy like Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson tore his ACL early enough where he shouldn't have a problem, Matt, coming back for day one, being ready, maybe not at training camp, but being ready for the preseason, being ready for opening day. Deshaun Watson should be back for all of that.
You know, I'm going to be monitoring. Everybody will be. It'll be one of the big off-season stories. I remember exactly where I was when the news broke. I was sitting in a stadium in Arizona for one of the Arizona football games.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You was out there.
Mm-hmm. And then I got a explicit text from Chris Vaccaro. if he's fully healthy, there's Rodgers, one. Two, I think you got it right now, go Russell Wilson. I think he's earned that. And then I mean, Hopkins. Watson for me.
Is in the conversation.
His, you know, as the number three. I'd rather if they were both healthy, I'm taking Watson over Wentz.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's not even an issue to me. I mean, Wentz's efficiency was amazing, but I mean, he was pretty much doing 220 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Which, mm-hmm. three touchdowns, that's great. But for fantasy purposes, what Watson could do with the legs. And, you know, he has DeAndre Hopkins. It's like Ben has AJ,
yep.
And he has Hopkins. So, I mean, Hopkins in the last 3 years, what, over 190, over 150, over 170 targets. So they know the drill. Target him. Get him the ball.
That's a piece of the offense. Deshaun Watson saved Bill O'Brien's bacon. I tell you that much right now.
Well,
he was dead in the water.
He might still be dead in the water. So Bill O'Brien has 1 year left on his contract, and the rumors coming out of Houston are that there are going to be wholesale changes one way or another with the Texans. All you're hearing about is Mike Vrabel as potential head coaching candidate, and on the offensive end of the ball, not hearing anything. There's a chance Bill O'Brien's gone, and if he is gone, from what I've read, he's like the most popular head coaching candidate that's out there.
Giants, I heard.
The Giants,
that would be horrific. God. This man is supposed to be offensive genius, quarterback guru. They didn't do nothing. Nothing. The quarterback stunk until they got Watson.
Okay, well, look at the names. What do you want him to do about that?
That's his job, right?
Is it his?
That's what they brought him for.
Agreed.
He's supposed to fix quarterbacks.
He doesn't.
I'll say this.
But he doesn't bring quarterbacks in. The general manager does. Rick Smith brings him in. And look at the names they brought in. Look at the names that they brought into this room.
If your job is to fix quarterbacks and make quarterbacks play well, Get it done with whoever.
That's not right.
See, I disagree.
Dude, the quarterbacks they brought in include Brock Osweiler, T.J. Yates, Case Keenum. I get. All right, he showed up a couple of years later. Tom Savage. Come on, the one quarterback he needed to develop. He was drafted in the first round. We're talking about picking as the third quarterback off the board.
Yeah, but Watson too skillful, too talented. Watson saved his bacon. I really do think so.
So here's the other argument you can make, right? This dude, Bill O'Brien, didn't start Deshaun Watson
exactly
in day one.
Exactly. He didn't start Deshaun Watson day one.
It took a horrific first half of Tom Savage. Well, it was Savage-like. To Savage's credit, he did know to get the ball to Hopkins. I mean, he was getting like 15
We love that.
Targets.
Yes. We love that.
You know.
Thank you, Thomas.
He was tolerable in fantasy. You're like, okay, yeah. Watson.
But if you're a Houston Texan fan, and I know fans, I would get text messages and be like, Savage effing sucks.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing for the Texans. Well, next year is so huge. You get Watt back healthy, Merciless back healthy. Look, this team needs to make that run next year.
They can still win that division. They're competitive. They probably might be the best team in that division still.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the Jaguars are still pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Jags, my bad.
But the Texans, their defense, they got lit up, unfortunately, with injuries to two of their best players, and Whitney Merciless and, of course, J.J. Watt. And on the offense, they lost their quarterback. I mean, they were ravaged by injuries.
And they lost A.J. Boye.
They lost A.J. Boye in free agency. Again, that's a Rick Smith thing, and it sounds like, from what I'm hearing in Houston, there is a personality thing there with Rick Smith, the general manager, and Bill O'Brien, the head coach.
What about, was Clowney a mistake?
No, Clowney's awesome.
But Clowney played when he wanted to play, though. That's the problem with Clowney.
He's awesome.
He is, but he's awesome like when he wanted to be awesome.
I agree with Corey. But I look, the talent is unreal.
Yeah. Remember that game when he was carrying the football with one hand? like it was a loaf of bread?
I kind of agree. I mean, I don't watch enough Texan games to really, like, but it seems like that, you know, maybe not every play he's going all out. Yeah. I don't want to.
I don't know. I think he's a player that's just gotten,
him in any sort of.
I think he's a player that's just gotten better. Like he's just consistently gotten better.
No, he has, but I just think that like when they play a night game versus the Patriots, you know, Clowney gonna make a play that game.
Right. Yeah, he's like a prime time.
Yeah, he's a prime time player.
You know, you put the
when the lights come on, that's when Clowney shows up. When the lights are not on, week 17, Clowney might not play a full complement of snaps. You feel what I'm saying?
And in fairness, though,
I want him to.
He hasn't really been there with
the whole unit. Yeah,
the whole unit, and like Watt, the last couple of seasons not being there. I mean, just picture if you have these two guys, even with the losses in the secondary and stuff like that. Just the chaos that they can create.
Right, quick on Clowney. You know, he said that Blake Bortles was trash, and then the Jaguars fans sent them all the trash cans.
And he donated
and
them.
And he filled them with toys and donated them. That was a good look right there. That was really cool,
That was cool. Let's not forget, Jadeveon Clowney is still 24 years old.
That's crazy.
He turns 25 on Valentine's Day.
I would love to have him on my team.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. But anyway, That's kind of the situation with the Texans. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, Matt says he will consider taking him as the third quarterback off the board despite the ACL injury. Corey, I know you in the past have been less in on quarterbacks than Matt Modica. You said maybe next year he'll change a little bit. Will you take Deshaun Watson as the third quarterback off the board?
I'll have some shares of Deshaun Watson in 2017. I mean, you see the dynamic talent that this kid has. Even though he has a playmaker like Hopkins, he still was the leader of that team. He can do it all offensively. He's a chain mover. He get the ball to the right guy. He can make plays happen himself. Yeah, I'm definitely down with my man Deshaun Watson. He will be on some fantasy executive rosters.
So that means, just to be clear, you're taking Deshaun Watson over Tom Brady.
I would take him over Tom Brady, yes.
Yeah, and see, the thing here is I'll take something from Chris Vaccaro. In the four-point passing touchdown league, you want the running quarterback. Like, in the six-point, Brady, as long as he's throwing those touchdowns and getting that yards, I'm fine with it. But in the four-point touchdown league, I mean, I do play more six-point. Mm-hmm. But in that four-point, that's like what Cam does. Cam gets that 60, 70 yards. It's an extra touchdown every week.
You're taking Deshaun Watson over Cam Newton.
I'm not sleeping on Cam Newton no more. I think I would still take Deshaun Watson.
I think I'm
but Cam Newton's right behind him. Because Cam Newton is awesome, man. He really is. No matter
what he wants to be.
Yeah, when he wants to be. Listen, you say, oh, well, look at the 3,300 yards. Yeah, it's a different kind of awesome.
Everybody wants him to be this, like, prolific pat or, like, these perfect spirals.
We can't judge Cam like that.
Yeah, no. The guy is Superman. He really is. It's just, it's not the pretty watch. It's not the perfect spiral. And, get back and just sling it deep all the time or, hit the precise route. That's not Cam's game. I mean, look, he can put up weeks where he's going to get you 40 points and win it for you. But I'm going to go with the younger guy, Watson, who has DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
That's the other part. When you get Watson, you get Hopkins.
Yeah. and then you saw how he was playing with Will Fuller. I mean, Deshaun Watson was
fearless.
Yes, he was fearless. The time that we had him this year, Deshaun Watson got it done. He would have been the rookie of the year, hands down.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially at the quarterback position, doing what he did, and it would have been fun, and it still can be fun with Houston and Jacksonville going forward. Are you gonna take Deshaun Watson over your boy Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I would. I'm gonna go back in on Jameis next year too, though.
I know you will.
I'm going back in on Jameis. Yeah, I want to know who's going to be the coach there, huh?
Jameis put up yards.
Yeah, he did.
He really.
He was like, watching the game. He had like
5 points in the half, but then he finished with 300 yards.
We talk about turnovers. For Jameis, it's like turnovers work for him because it dictates game script. He just come out and keep winging it.
But I do want to see especially after Week 17. The Gucci Garoppolo price tag.
Yo, we did it on Fantasy Freestyle with Ventra last night. I think he might have been a top five quarterback to Ventra.
You take Deshaun Watson over Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, I would take Deshaun Watson. And Ventra was like, the Deshaun Watson. But you go down the board and you ask people, Gucci or Matt Stafford? Gucci or Rivers?
Garoppolo's Italian.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. He mentioned that too. He mentioned that beforehand. He was like, I'm going to be biased.
There you go. A little Deshaun Watson talk for you here on a Friday. All right, we take a break. When we come back, we are joined by the King, Scott Engel, and he joins next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
We're back with you here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And the very last time this year, we bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today. You can hear it 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time each and every day, Monday through Friday. For the final time of 2017, it's time to talk to the King, Scott Engel.
Good morning. What a year it's been. Hey, I wouldn't mind having a ticket to the NHL Winter Classic Monday when I saw the musical lineup. I'm not a Goo Goo Dolls guy, but Max Weinberg from the E Street Band and original Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley playing New York Groove at the NHL Winter Classic.
So basically, you could just take out Max Weinberg and the Goo Goo Dolls. If Ace Frehley was there, you'd be interested.
I'm definitely interested. I'm trying to finagle a way to get there on Monday.
Why? It's going to be freezing. You don't even like hockey.
I'll go for Ace in the atmosphere.
Oh, come on. Scott, it's going to be freezing out. Freezing! And you've seen Ace Frehley 17 times.
That's okay. If I'm in the press box, I won't have to freeze.
Oh, this is now the real story comes in. If someone pays you to go, you'll go.
Oh, no, I'm not getting paid to go. It's just like I got a friend working on something for me.
Wow, look at this guy, huh? If not, though,
I received two tickets for the NFL experience from my wife for the holidays, and I might go check that out on Monday.
There you go, little New Year's Day action inside New York City, the NFL experience. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it certainly will. You know, I remember going to that before Super Bowl 33 in Miami and having a great time.
All right, so you might as well go back.
Yeah, it should be fun. You know, the NFL's got this new thing in Times Square and the NFL restaurant and all of that. So something I think a football fan should go check out. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Scotty, this week, the Seattle Seahawks must win in order to have a chance to qualify for the playoffs this year. Do you think it happens?
I think there's a very good chance. I think they're definitely going to beat Arizona, and Carolina's got to beat Atlanta. I know Atlanta is at home, but I just feel like Carolina's the better team, and they have something significant to play for.
For now. I mean, for now, they have something significant to play for. I mean, if the Saints get up all of a sudden on the Bucs, maybe Carolina starts benching Cam Newton.
Well, it depends on how much they get up on the Bucs. If it's like 30-0, yeah, you could see it happen. But there's no guarantees that is going to happen either, because the Saints are playing the Bucs as a divisional game. Could be tight. Maybe Tampa Bay wants to go out on a high note and play spoiler. So it's never in a good position when you're an NFL team and you need help. When that means you haven't quite earned being a playoff team. And if you look back at Seattle's schedule and some of the games that they lost, it's coming back to bite them. Your record is what it says you are, like Bill Parcells used to say. You know, if they're not going to make the playoffs, it's because they didn't beat Washington at home.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. But Russell Wilson, as you write on Seahawks.com today, he basically finished, as he normally does, towards the top of fantasy quarterbacks. But this year, it wasn't just toward the top. It was the top. He's number one overall fantasy quarterback here in 2017, and he's only gotten better. I know it's interesting because in the past, early in the season, you've talked about, you know, I've given up on Russell Wilson. I thought that Russell Wilson was a better NFL quarterback than a fantasy quarterback. Not so much in 2017. If you watched it with your own eyes, you've seen just how good he is on the field in both real life and in fantasy, because he can move with his legs, he can use it with his arm, he just keeps it moving, and Russell Wilson proved to be the number one overall fantasy quarterback this year.
Yeah, like you say, go to Seahawks.com this morning and check out my full season in review and look ahead to 2018, not just for the Seahawks, but like the entire NFL keeper in 2018 perspectives. I think as a fantasy player, this is where you want to have Wilson carrying 80%+ of the team. But as an NFL fan, you don't want it. It's earlier in his career when the Seahawks were going to two Super Bowls, they were saying, oh, he's a game manager, blah, blah, blah. I think savvy NFL fans knew better than that. You know, even in his rookie year, in his second year, he showed he can make plays. It's just he didn't have to make as many plays as he does now. They were saying, oh, he can't carry a team. Now he's carrying a team, and it's great for fantasy, but from an NFL perspective, you don't want the quarterback carrying the team, especially to this degree.
So there you go. Russell Wilson, as a fan, you don't want him carrying the Seahawks necessarily, but certainly carrying your fantasy team works out plenty okay. Also, as you write on Seahawks.com, the other top quarterbacks this year included Carson Wentz, who was hurt, Deshaun Watson, we just talked about here on the Roto Experts, and then you got my guy, Kirk Cousins, who finished as the sixth overall quarterback with about 270 points. And the thing with Kirk Cousins was, it wasn't always pretty. I stuck with him in matchups I shouldn't, but Kirk Cousins stayed in there and played every single game. I believe he played every single snap. He took an absolute beating behind a brutal offensive line, and now he deserves to get paid for it, and I hope he does. Where do you think Kirk Cousins should go in drafts next season?
Yeah, you make some great points. Because he was impressive because he Terrell Pryor was a bust. A lot of his other receivers didn't step up. Jamison Crowder dealt with a hamstring injury. Chris Thompson got injured. But yet he kept soldiering on. And I think if he stays with the Redskins, he'll probably be about a top seven fantasy quarterback. I think listening to you guys in the last segment, I probably my top five going into next season are probably going to be Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Watson, and Wentz.
Okay.
Probably in that top five. And then you could probably put Cousins like right outside of that. And but it really is going to obviously going to depend on where he ends up.
All right. So there you go. That's pretty good. Get Kirk Cousins around the top six. And he's a guy
probably seventh after Cam Newton.
And that's completely reasonable. Kirk Cousins now inside the top 10 because he's just what he is. He's just a reliable dude. And there is something to be said for a guy that's going to go out there, throw the ball downfield. He had his best year of his career throwing the ball down the field. And he did it playing for a team that, much like Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, just really did not have an offensive line. One name you didn't mention when you went over your top six or seven or eight, Scott, was Jimmy G. As you mentioned on Seahawks.com, he's going to be the hot name after three consecutive 15-point performances in the fantasy playoffs. Where does Jimmy Garoppolo go in fantasy drafts?
Yeah, I'm not as hot on him as Chris Ventra. I think when I counted it out the other day with Jake Seeley on target, I think he ended up as my 12th quarterback.
Okay.
Because the potential certainly is there. He learned behind Brady. He looked good this season. But I think it's too dangerous to place a guy inside the top 10 based on a four-game sample. I need to see more of it. It's just from experience over the years, I think it's really dangerous to overreact to a small sample size. Because during the offseason, defensive coordinators and other coaches spend so much time watching film, they're going to be breaking him down. And when he has to come out of the gate next season as the starter from week one, things are going to be tougher. I'm not saying he can't react and overcome it, but things are going to be tougher defensively. You also have to remember that there was no pressure on the 49ers either this late in the year. They were already out of it.
Yeah, they absolutely were already out of it. But what they did to Jacksonville, a playoff team that has designs on the Super Bowl, you have to admit that was very impressive.
It was impressive. Well, I'm saying that's why I'd probably rank him 11th or 12th, but I can't give him, you know, top five, top eight based on a four-game stretch. And as far as Jacksonville goes, you know, I think everybody was overreacting a little bit, calling them one of the greatest defenses of all time when they hadn't even won a playoff game. It's not like, you know, some of these greatest defense of all times didn't give up a lot of points. The 2000 Ravens gave up 36 points in one game, but I find it hard to see Jacksonville in the Super Bowl because of their quarterback situation.
Yeah, and that's always been kind of the downfall for them. And I honestly think, Scott, that if Blake Bortles does falter in the playoffs, it's probably going to be the best thing for Jacksonville because they won't get these illusions that they should bring this idiot back.
Yeah, it's, you know, everything else is there, the running game, the defense. But I always say you need three components: a strong running game, a strong defense, and at least a solid quarterback. This is not like Trent Dilfer or something like that, or Brad Johnson, because those guys didn't turn the ball over. Blake Bortles can turn the ball over, and it's sometimes his game management is very, very, how should I say, not on point. Whereas a guy like Brett, you'll see him throwing the ball at guys' feet. You just can't do that in the playoffs.
No, you can't. A couple other points before we let you go this year, Scotty. You read that Alex Collins finally sees the role, something you predicted a couple of years ago with Seattle. It didn't happen. He got better, went to Baltimore, and sees a starting job. You said he's going to be a highly desired RB2 target in 2018.
I believe so. He's gunning for a 1,000-yard season this week in the season finale. There's something to play for him contract-wise. If he has a bonus, he what really happened with Collins, why he was off the radar because and the Seahawks cut him was because of fumbling issues, and then he showed it early with Baltimore. Once he curbed that, you saw really an electric cutback runner who also became a better goal line guy over the season, improved as a pass receiver. I think Alex Collins is definitely the lead running back for the Ravens next year.
You know, I don't know. You know, I think the Ravens, we didn't know if he'd bring Alex Collins back, so I don't want to necessarily go that far. And then, of
why
course.
Why would they?
Well, I don't know, because the Ravens are crazy, pretty much, and that's it. Scott, we got a minute remaining here. Your final thoughts on 2017?
My final thoughts on 2017, Todd Gurley was obviously the MVP, but if you won your Super Bowl and you overcame losing any of these superstars like Aaron Rodgers or David Johnson, et cetera, you know, give yourself a nice pat on the back there. Go check out sportsgrid.com and check out David Ganos' new articles on the best way to spend your fantasy football winnings.
There you go. Scotty, we appreciate it as always. We'll listen to Fantasy Sports Today on Tuesday, 6 a.m., January 2nd. I'm excited for it. Have a great one, Scotty. Happy New Year, buddy.
All right. Same to you, my friends.
All right. Coming up next, Matt Modica rejoins the program. Talk a little baseball right there. It's Roto Express, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back inside the studio with Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. And Matt, the big baseball story, unfortunately, actually, it's come out yesterday, was a sexual assault allegation. A photographer named Betsy Bisson wrote a column, yesterday, and just spoke about her experience, and she photographed several Twins games, got to know people, called out the first base coach for asking for her number, and despite being married for 20 years, and I kind of look past that because in baseball this happens literally all the time. You hear stories like that, so you know, while you know, disgusting and whatnot, fine, whatever. She says no, they move on, and then the story gets worse, unfortunately, as she accuses a player of trying to sexually assault her. And ultimately does name that player in the end, in the last line of the letter, and that player being Miguel Sano, as he's officially been accused of sexually assault by this woman. The Twins responded to the allegation saying, quote, "Today the Minnesota Twins were made aware of allegations involving Miguel Sano at an offside appearance during 2015. The Twins, along with Major League Baseball, take these allegations very seriously. Until more information is gathered, the Twins will have no further comment." When it comes to domestic violence, MLB has taken a very serious approach. You look at Aroldis Chapman, who was suspended, it was 25 games, I think it was, for, I think, shooting the gun next to his wife. You had other players suspended as well, pretty seriously. Jose Reyes, obviously, comes to mind there.
Yeah, he threw his wife through a glass window.
And he was suspended for quite a while, right? For like 50 games or something like that? So he was suspended for a while, too. Miguel Sano seems to be next. What does this do to your thoughts on Miguel Sano, of course, and in his fantasy draft status?
Well, I mean, as a human, it's makes him look like trash.
Definitely.
You know, and I have no reason not to believe this lady's account of the story.
Right.
What I found even more troubling about the, after reading it, mm-hmm. was that there were other gentlemen around that allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
And she pretty much had a try and fight him off for whatever 10 minutes or so as she put in the
as she's screaming for help, which is very
scary.
Yeah,
so that for me is another really big takeaway on this, that you know, you're allowing it, you're enabling it, And, you know, at some point along the way, someone has to step in. I don't care how, you know, he's a popular young player, this and that, but, you know, you have to be a better person. You know, if I was there and I did nothing, I consider myself just as guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. Oddly enough, the first base coach was fired after his second season with the Twins. I'm not going to name him because she didn't name him. If you want to go look it up, you can certainly go do that. What does this do to Miguel Sano's fantasy draft status?
I mean, as far as fantasy goes, he was a guy you're going to look at for the power. I mean, the power potential, it's like a light tower power. I would have to assume that MLB is going to do something. I mean, if they drop the ball on this, then that's shame on them. It's going to lower it. It's obviously going to take a hit with that, deservedly so. But I'm more curious to see how MLB handles this and what the final ruling on and what kind of a suspension they lay out for him.
Yeah, I think once we hear more about the facts, MLB will make their decision. Ultimately, that will obviously affect where he is drafted last year from just a baseball perspective. Since Noah, 28 home runs, 77 ribbies, playing 114 games. He obviously had those problems at the end of the year. Paul Molitor had recently come out last week, I think, and said, listen, we don't think he can handle playing third base all the time. We're going to split him between third base and DH. The average last year for Sano is .264, but an OBP of .352, so he got on base seemingly more than ever last year. And the power was obviously for real. I think the numbers in back-to-back years playing basically the same amount of games kind of is what it was with Sano.
Yeah, and he does have, you know, 40-plus potential.
He needs to stay healthy.
But, you know, I think right now he's got to get his life straight.
He's got to get his life straight, and he's got to figure it out on the mental side of things along with the physical side of things. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk some more football. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman here on the Roto Experts.